This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It's about to go down. This is the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast, where we talk history of the game, numbers and stats. And each week we highlight a charity that's doing good. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you should, because I'm the real deal. And you know I gotta shout out the Buffalo Bills. Turn it up to the max, sit back and relax. This the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Let go.
Hey, what is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome into this episode of the Buffalo Nerd, your home for Buffalo Bills football with a charity on top. Brought to you by Minute Media and Fansided. So if this is your first time here, welcome aboard. Glad to see you. I hope you enjoy the show. We got a good one on tap. We're going to talk a little roster renovation this week as we're coming up against free agency. It's going to be happening real soon, and we got some big decisions to make. But, you know, like we do here, if you're part of the Nerd Mafia already and you're back for more, thanks again for listening in. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you've been following along, and appreciate all you very much. So before we get into all the football stuff like we typically do, we are going to highlight a charity this week. And this week, I wanted to highlight a charity that a friend of mine out here, in California, and a coworker, his wife passed away, about a week ago now, due to sarcoma, and had a battle with that, and it didn't end up in her favor, this week I wanted to, kind of highlight. Let them know, thinking about them, praying for them, that kind of stuff, but also to highlight a charity, that is all about that and supporting people in that regard. And so, came up with the Sarcoma Foundation of America, came across them, started doing some research, on them to see what they're all about. Very cool organization, been around since early 2000s, so they've been at it for a while now. A lot of grant money. They do research, that's kind of like their big things. There's over 70 types of sarcoma, I believe it is, so it can affect you in a lot of different ways. So this organization's around, they have, education for folks that, just need to, figure out what's going on. They got support systems where, if you need people to contact, talk to, that kind of stuff. And also just, they help with funding, research to try to, support people, try to fund, figure out how to stop these types of things, like everybody else is trying to do, but, specific to sarcoma in that regard. So this week, wanted to go ahead and shout them out. You can find them at curesarcoma.org. So it's cure and it's SARCOMA.org. So curesarcoma.org. You can check out the foundation, see what they're all about, see what they've been up to, see what they're doing moving forward. It's got news events, all that kind of stuff. You can donate straight over there too. Join a mailing list, maybe email the link to somebody that you know that might need it. So, all right. I'm not sure if everybody listened in. But there is the combine taking place right now. So we just had, Coach and we had Bean, come out and chat there at the combine. I thought that there was some interesting little nuggets kind of in what they said. And there was also a lot not really said, kind of how, McDermott likes to do it. Bean, he seemed a little more kind of forward with the thinking a little bit. He got asked quite a bit about Joe Sheen, being over there in New York now and that kind of stuff. So it was cool to listen to, but he did bring up the fact that, they're going to have to look at, making some moves, and they're going to have to make some changes. Right now they're tied up against the number, Saron Neal deal definitely didn't help things, right? It's putting them even closer. But it was a piece that, he said, if you listen to that, he pretty much said he's all about when the player wants to do it and the team's there and they're close, that they'll work it out. And that's what happened in this case. And I think it was a good move. But besides that, we need money, right? If we're going to be kind of effective, if we're going to kind of churn this bad boy, we need some money. So this week I wanted to talk roster renovation, and we're only calling it renovation because this team is no longer, a team that's in a rebuild. We're not even in like heavy construction mode. We're not in any of those things. We're kind of like, maybe we should get a new kitchen sink. Or maybe we should upgrade that over there, right? That's renovation mode. And I think that's really where this team is. There's some pieces of the puzzle that, we might not get back already, but there's some pieces this week that I wanted to chat about where it might be time to make the move because there's money to be saved, right? Or go to that player and see if there's a way to move it around, you know. But like Bean likes to say, when you go ahead and restructure, you're paying that down the road, right? So that's not just like it's a freebie. So you got to be careful who you do that with, because you need to make sure that when you push that down the road, that player's value is actually higher, right? That they're actually still at a good value. So it's dangerous to do that. But so what do I got? I got about 8 players that I kind of wanted to chat up real quick that I think are like candidates that Bean's probably going to hit up here shortly, you know, because you got to imagine a lot of this stuff's going to happen before the free agency window actually opens up. And some of these guys we're going to mention actually have roster bonuses coming due here at the third week of the year, you know, in March. So there's decisions that have to be made real soon. So I want to start out with the guys that kind of are like make up for less than like 3%. You know, their individual contract makes up for less than 3% of the overall cap number. So they're not a lot, but there's room there too. So the first guy for me it's AJ Klein, right? Like he's stepped in and he's played at a good role when, you know, Milano and one of those guys has come down, but they haven't been down that much. And he's due like $5.5 million this year, right? That's a big number for, I want to say it was 30. He plays about 30% of the time, you know, right now. And that's mostly because somebody got injured, you know, so that's why he got a little more. So I don't know that he's really worth that number at the moment, right? I don't think that I necessarily would say like, let's not keep him around, but he's definitely somebody that I'm going to look at, because his cap number, if he gets let go, is like only $400,000. So, I mean, you're talking about some major savings there. I mean, if you need $4 million to sign somebody to make it happen, like that's somebody that you have to look at, or you at least have to approach him and say, we're looking like a 1 year, you know, two, maybe something like that. You know, I mean, if you look at what Saron Neal just signed for, and he's the best guy on the special teams, right? And he's a backup player. So you've got to compare Klein kind of in that same clout. He's a backup player. He's a guy that steps in on special teams and whatnot, you know, but like he's at $5 million and Saron Neal's going to make like 2 point something per year for the next few years, you know, and he's the best player on the special team. So I think AJ Klein has got to be one of those guys that he came in and he helped. Knowing the system definitely helped, but it might be time to move. Next one up, I'm not sure that we're really going to see happen, because it's Cody Ford, and his number is pretty small. I mean, his hit will be like 870, and he's only due like 230. So you're not really making up a lot of ground, right? And you're probably going to have to turn around and pay somebody roughly 2 something to be on the roster, 3 even potentially to be on the roster to replace him. And I feel like he would be somebody that I would straight up just be like, you know what, let's just start over. Maybe he needs a new opportunity. We need a new opportunity. But with them bringing in Aaron Cromer, it's basically a new opportunity. I mean, they're going to bring in a brand new coach and try to bring potentially a brand new system, right? We don't even know what the run approach is going to be for the offensive line. So you might actually see him have a better season. And he's only at 1%. Like he's at 1.13%. So Cody Ford is just kind of one of those guys that if I really needed like a million and something and I just kind of wanted to move on, I would just do it. But there's reasons that he could still just be good enough. And Aaron Cromer's got a reputation, right? Like not that all these guys in the NFL, I mean, there's only so many of these jobs. So all these guys are at the best, right? I mean, they are the best at what they do, but I mean, he's been around a long time. He comes very well respected. So for me, Cody Ford, probably one of those guys that'll stick, even though he to me, he could also just be like, let's just wipe the slate clean. Next up, Feliciano, he's making up 2.56%. I mean, these aren't huge numbers, right? When you really think about it, and he's a backup role, he's a veteran player. You know, if he's the fans, you know, love him when he's playing. Right. But that mentality, right. His whole mentality is when he's playing. And he's a great team player, right? I mean, that's all you hear about him. He's a good team player, things of that nature. But $4.9 million, he costs $1.5 million if you just kind of let him go. So there's $3 million. That right there to me is a let's just do it. Even if that money just turns around and replaces with a slightly younger develop level player that we can develop, you know, on the offensive line behind him. Because I think Darrell Williams is, which we're going to mention him in a bit, but there's part of the line that I don't think is going to change very much. So it's kind of like, let's get Feliciano. We can get a younger version, probably somebody that we can work with to develop hopefully into a better role. But I mean, that's, you're talking 3.4 million or so right there. I mean, that's somebody else's contract you can sign easily. I mean, some of these guys are making less of that. I mean, I want to say it's probably less than half the team, you know, less than half the team is making less money than that. Right. So, I mean, you could definitely work with that money. This is the group that is, they make up for over 3%. And these guys are probably, these are tough decisions. I mean, the top three there, I would wipe the slate clean, and I'd be plus about 8 million, you know, and I would start over. And I would go and get three players that are role players, a couple, an offensive lineman and somebody else, you know, for that 8 million and roll it again with a guy that's 26, 27, that's been playing well in a backup role somewhere else. And you want to bring him over and let him play on a better team in that same kind of role, or you think he can develop into more. But this one here, 3.6, do 7.6 million. Cap hit a 1.5, so there's big money here, but it's Cole Beasley, right? He's a fan fave, like you love him, but there's the whole thing last year. You don't really know what the organization is going to do with that. I mean, that's a big chunk of money. I mean, you go to Cole and you just are sure, like maybe he doesn't even want to play, right? We don't know that for sure yet. He might decide this offseason he doesn't even want to play. But to me, Brandon Bean said he hasn't talked to him. So that's probably not the greatest, really, but he is signed already, right? So the expectation is he's just going to play. But I mean, you're talking big money. He's up there in age. His role kind of diminished a little bit with Dawson Knox, you know, elevating, his game. Gabe Davis is going to be a factor again next year. You know, Diggs is still there. So it's for that kind of money. You go to Cole and you say, we're happy to have you here, but it's more in like a 4 million or something like that, 3 million range for what we're going to do. Right. You know, I mean, for me, that's kind of more of where he would have to be, because I feel like with that money that you could take, almost that 6 million that you're going to gain, you could go out and find a couple, again, 24, 25 year old wide receivers that would love to play with Josh Allen. And they might be guys that could soar. Right. You put them in the right system and they just soar. Right. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's guys out there that you could easily find. I mean, if you look at what Green Bay has done, besides having their stud, right, it's always been just a couple guys, but they've always been guys that could step up and they're good players. I think you could get guys like that would want to play in Buffalo, and they would do it at that $3-4 million that you'd be able to pay them, you know, to make it happen, to play with this guy that can sling it the way that he can. So for me, Cole is it's a very interesting thing, because that's quite a bit of money, and you're taking a pretty small hit. I mean, I know you don't really want to take the hit, right? But that's definitely a guy that I'm saying, like, we'd love to have you, but it's got to be lower. I've got to have you. We'll sign you to this one last year, and we'll give it to you all guaranteed, right? We can do that, but it's got to be a lower number. Because even if he wants to play at that lower number, I still want to go pick up that other guy and have them come in. And I know a lot of folks are, you know, talking wide receiver in the draft and all that. And we should top of the first there that we should go after a wide receiver. And I mean, McDermott kind of said it in his press conference. He's like, we don't want to give away with our philosophy, but like, you can find good wide receivers in the later rounds. Hint, hint, like Cooper Kupp, hint, hint, like Gabe Davis. I mean, like, you don't necessarily have to take the guy at the top there. So I think they feel comfortable, and especially in a deep wide receiver class, that you also could be like, we can replace these guys. Is he going to be a veteran? No, but do we need Josh to play only with veterans? No. I mean, he's getting good enough to do that, and he's still going to have his guys, right? It would just be changing one piece to the puzzle. But I don't really, to me, I think it might just be time to move and make that move. It's got to happen at some point, right? He either like leaves as a free agent, or you cut him, or you restructure him, and then he leaves and you do one last run. But either way, it's like one last run, I feel like, with him. So it's, do we take our money now? Does he want to work with us, or is it just time? So Next up, this one I don't really see happening because I don't think that we would want to take this big of a hit in its star, because, I mean, you're going to take a $7.7 million hit to not even have him play. And you're going to only gain a couple million off of what you would have paid him if he played. So it's, to me, and he makes up 4.3% of the 3.38% of the salary cap. And I don't like that the number's that high at all. It's just not the same. It's, to me, that's not $9 million a year football. It's really not. And the way that we rotate, it just doesn't feel right. But I feel like we're almost stuck in that role unless they just say, like, hey, we're going to do it just to save the $2 million and call it good, because we want to put somebody else in that spot and he wants to play for a really low number. I feel like 7.7 would be a big hit, but I feel like the roster spot being used by him is a big hit right now. But next up is at 4.71, and it's Williams. And I said I was going to mention him earlier because he was kind of signed as the right tackle, right? And then Spencer Brown came out and he played phenomenal. And now Williams is looking more like the guard. And now he's being paid this $9.9 million, and he only costs you $3.6 million if you're going to let him go. So again, you've got big money that you can move around, and he's a guy that you could probably definitely approach and say, we need to rework this number in some way or another. You know, we want you to play here, but you're going to be a guard now, or, you know, that's just how it is. We're not going to be paying you the tackle role when we're going to be having you play the guard. We can save the money and pay that money to, you know, Botker and Bates and those, and keep both of those guys probably for the same amount of money of having Williams around. So for me, he's one of those guys, you approach him. He was brought in to kind of see if he could turn it around. And he did, you don't really want to lose him necessarily because of the continuity, but there's keeping Bates and keeping Botker is keeping the continuity. Maybe, and then you keep somebody else, or you just, at some point there's got to be a little churn. But I think that the way that things are going, he's one of the target guys you got to go after. Next is going to be kind of a little different one, and it's purely just, I think it's a benefit for him and it's a benefit for the team. But at 5.34%, it's Mitch Morris. He's due 11.25. He's getting up there. He's probably not going to play much longer. He only costs $3.7 million if you let him go. Now, I get it. I mean, he's the starting center and he's been with him for a while. And we don't really have a backup solution at this point, right? I mean, Bates has kind of always been supposedly that guy, and he looked good when he came in. But are we ready to let Mitch Morris go? I don't think so. But I think there's room, and Mitch would be the kind of guy to say, can we do something around like 8-7, you know, like somewhere, bring them down. We'll give it to you all one last hurrah, right? Like, and we're either going to draft the guy or we're going to go ahead and we're going to, you know, bring in somebody else, you know, and pay somebody else. But that's a big savings. I mean, for you lose a lot there. I mean, you're giving up a ton, right? So he's not somebody that I really truly expect that we're going to see that happen, but he does have the type of contract that you should and could think about approaching to restructure him into just giving him everything up front for one more year, right? And calling it a last hurrah after that, knowing that you're going into next season with a new guy, or you rework out a deal that's at around the same number if it sounds right for both, you know, both parties, and it was a good year again. So I think Mitch might be a guy they go after. And the last one, and it's really just purely because he's the one that you could restructure the best, right? Because that's why I say you almost have to like kill these and make it new 1 year deals, right? Because when you structure and add the money onto the following years, it really hurts. So the only player that I think we could do that with is Diggs, right? He's got plenty of room to work. You can give him more money up front. They did it already, right? You know, they've already worked with him and restructured with him once, and he's only 30 years old. He's the guy that, you push his money back, you can expect 2-3 more good years of Stephon Diggs, if not more. I mean, the way that he works and the way that he takes care of himself, you could get even probably more out of him if that's really what you need. But at least in 2 years, you're probably going to be paying big money for him. But he's still going to be good. and he's going to have even more chemistry with Josh. So he's probably somebody else that I think you could approach. But Klein, I think for me, is one of the guys that probably you see something's got to go on there, I think, unless you're just truly that happy with him, because he's due 700 as a roster bonus. Feliciano's due 500 here coming up real soon. So I think those are guys that you got to make decisions on soon. But either way, what we're talking about all together is just renovations, right? We're just making little tweaks, changes here and there where we can move some money around. We can let some guys go because we've got some potential guys that we need to bring back, right? You know, that I think should potentially still be on the roster based on youth and, you know, being good and part of the system and team players and what have already been in the building. So it's going to be fun to watch. Bean's going to have to do something. He's going to do something. I don't think he's just going to sit around. Right. I mean, he's going to have to, something's going to have to happen. They're going to have to make some moves, you know, and just, there's no other way around it because I don't think you can just sit pat, right? Like there are some changes that have to be made. So you have to figure out ways to make them. But once the combine's over, we'll be moving into free agency. We can see what's going to take place. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of players on the market that, you know, some people didn't anticipate were going to be out there. So it's going to be kind of cool to see what happens with some of these guys and what some teams can make happen, you know, because there's going to be some really good players out there. But that's going to wrap it up for this week for the roster renovation show. As we move it into next week, we'll probably start hitting on some of the guys that, you know, I potentially think would be somebody that would be kind of fun for the Bills to land, you know, or that would really fit in the system well, that would be, you know, just a nice player, nice chess piece to add, because we're not far. We're not far, right? But very cool. Make sure you guys head over to curesarcoma.org and, you know, check them out this week and make sure that, you know, if you can help out, send that information over to anybody that you know that might need it, you know, and make sure that you're following along over at buffalolowdown.com. That's buffalowdown.com for, you know, all things Bills. A lot of good stuff coming out from Brandon and those guys right now about free agent targets the Bills could be looking at, you know, in a lot of positions. We need a quarterback, you know, we need a backup quarterback. So there's a lot of big things happening. It's going to be fun to watch. Moving forward, and you know, make sure you guys are following along on all the social channels at the Buffalo Nerd, you know, the TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all YouTube. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, leaving reviews. If you leave reviews, it helps the show out. We can spread the word more about the charities and everything else that we're up to. Thanks again, guys, for coming back and listening this week, and of course, go Bills.
You just listen to the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. You leave a review and subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time. Leg out.